Good morning, church family. Yeah, I welcome all of you in the name of Jesus Christ to this worship service, because we gather here together this morning in the name of our Lord. The Holy Spirit is with us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And He is ready to, you know, receive our worship and receive our lives again in this worship service. And we have a, you know, special announcement about Kids of USA, Hillary.
Good morning. I'm happy to announce that Kids Hope USA has launched at Midland First. One mentor is starting tomorrow. One prayer partner has already invested the 1 hour to train. My only worry is me. If you volunteered to be a mentor or a prayer partner and have not received an email from Kids Hope USA, please let me know. It is probably a function of my tech skills or my memory. Please help me out. New volunteers, if you'd like to sign up, check my office window for sign-up sheets. And Lord, we commit this mission to you, to your glory.
Amen.
Hello, if you do not know me yet, my name is Tyler Morse. I'm the new choir director here, and I have an announcement. In 2 weeks from today, there's going to be a sort of special choir moment where we're gonna have women's choir just for that week. This is not necessarily, you don't need to be joining the chancel choir to do this, it's just sort of a for now, one and done type of thing. We'd like to do more of that type of thing in the future. If you're interested in that, there is a rehearsal today at 1 o'clock, so about an hour after this service. And it's just up in the choir room. Anyone's welcome. Please bring a friend if you think that that would be something they'd like. And I'll see you at 1.
Yeah. This is a really important announcement. During the Lenten season this year, we are going to have a church-wide Bible study every Wednesday night, starting February 21st. February 14th is our Ash Wednesday service. But starting the February 21st, for the following 6 weeks, we are going to get together at the church around 5 o'clock for meal, fellowship. And then we are going to have a worship together in this sanctuary. And then we will go into the small group, you know, gathering in the classrooms we have. So this will be a time of a fellowship, worship, and Bible study during the, you know, Lenten season this year. We are going to use the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I know many of our church members already read that book, and they released a newly expanded book. So, you know, we can get a lot of information from that book, and it will really, you know, conducive to our growth. So I'd like to encourage you to invite your friends and neighbors to come to our church and join the, you know, Bible study together. If they are not ready to join us for the Bible study, they are welcome to join our fellowship time and go home. I'm totally fine with that. Okay? Please invite your friends, your family, and also join yourself, you know, in this, you know, Bible study during the Lenten season. We have a special, you know, video announcement.
Hello, Midland First. As you may have heard, we are going to begin a Lenten study on the book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. This book covers 5 purposes for our life and centers around worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and mission. During our Lenten study, which will begin the second Wednesday of Lent, we will get together for dinner, worship, and small group study time. And we will have the opportunity not only to fellowship, but to learn how we can grow as individuals and as God's family, the body of Christ. Because as Rick Warren writes, we were planned for God's pleasure, formed for God's family. We were created to become like Christ, shaped for serving God, and made for a mission. and what a gift it is to do that together.
You will get a lot from this book, I guarantee that. And the copies are ready to pick up by you. And, you know, they are available at the information desk. And also, if you want to purchase books for your friends and family members, you are more than welcome to do that, okay? And please stand up and let us have time to greet one another, okay? Let us pray together. God, thank you so much for calling us to be here, to worship you, Lord, to focus our life on you. God, please bless our time together and help us to taste your kingdom on earth through this worship service. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we begin our worship with "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord."
I want to see you.
If the kids could join us this morning, all the kids who are here. We have a special time this morning because two of our students are receiving Bibles.
Now, there's something special about the wrapping paper on these Bibles. So, as you unwrap them, you'll find that they're wrapped in different types of paper. And I want to tell you a little bit about each one as we go. So, the brown paper reminds us that the Bible is a very old book. And it was actually, people were telling the stories written in the Bible before people could even read and write. And so this is a very special book because these are stories that are long told. And we know them to be true. So you can go ahead and open the first layer.
Just rip it open.
Just, yeah, go ahead.
And throw the paper on the ground. Like you don't know what it is.
Go for it. The comic strip layer is a reminder to us that these are the best stories in the world, and they're worth remembering, just like we would our favorite comic strips, like the Peanuts. And so that is the comic book layer. These are stories worth remembering and worth reading over and over again. Go for it. The gold paper reminds us of how valuable the Bible is and what a treasure it is because it guides us in truth and tells us about who God is. And that is one of the best gifts that we can receive. Go ahead. And the last layer is the white tissue paper, which reminds us that the Bible is inspired by God and it is trustworthy and true because of who God is. And we know that it can be proven over and over, like we just talked about when we were singing the Honey on the Rock song. And so whenever you read it, just know that it's true and God still speaks to us today when we open it. Go for it. Look on the inside.
Open, just open the cover.
Look on the inside.
Turn it one more page.
Oh, I think you turned a little bit too far.
There you go. Oh, there it is.
Each of them have your names in them.
Well set. Thank you.
The children receiving their Bibles is a really good way for us to remind ourselves that it is a book that describes to us how deep the Father's love is for us. And so the next song that we are going to sing together, I ask you to meditate on before we join in prayer together.
Please, you know, bow your heads and join me in the prayer. Dear most gracious God, we give thanks to you for being our Redeemer and sustainer of our lives. We give our life to you in this worship service as living sacrifices. We are so grateful for your presence in our lives, even though there are times we do not realize it. God, you have called us to be a house of prayer for all nations. We pray that your spirit of peace will be with the people in Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Palestine, Syria, Iran, Pakistan, Myanmar, and many other places where the conflicts have heightened. Heal their wounds and restore their lives and help them find your presence in the midst of wars. We remember our denomination, the United Methodist Church, in our prayers. God, remember us and renew us with your spirit. Let us walk closely with you so that we can be your means of grace to the people in our neighborhood and the world. Give Bishop Bard wisdom and a compassionate heart as he is leading our conference. Allow his cabinet members to have a discernment from you so that they can appoint the right pastors to the right places in this season. God, we remember our church members who are under hospice care and those who have lost their loved ones recently. Reveal your grace to them and comfort them. Help them find your presence during these challenging times. Heal those who are suffering in our congregation. Strengthen their and their family members' faith so that they can find your shalom at this time. We pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm so glad that we can continually join God's mission through Midland First. And please continually pray for our missions we have at the church and also participate in the missions through your prayer and offering. And I hope we can be more missional church together. Can you say amen to that? Amen. With that mind and hope, let us give our lives to God with our offerings. Ushers, please come forward. Let us pray. Dear God, we are so grateful that we belong to you and we are yours. God, help us to remember that blessing wherever we go. We acknowledge that all the things we have are coming from you. And as a token of our love and commitment to you, we give these offerings to you. God, please accept these offerings and use them only for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is coming from two places. First, Ephesians chapter 3 and Philippians chapter 1. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ, you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please pray once again? Dear God, we are so grateful that we can be family together. And we are here to listen to your word. God, please speak to our hearts, and we will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to open my sermon with a question for you. What is the most memorable prayer experience you ever had before? What is the most memorable prayer experience? As I shared with you before in my sermons, I was a student pastor at Glendale Korean United Methodist Church. I still remember in 1999, May. At that time, I was a student pastor to the church, and my senior pastor asked me to preach at a Wednesday worship service time. My heart was, pounding uncontrollably because I didn't took the preaching class yet. And also, I just, attended a seminary for 5 months. And then my senior pastor at that time had to preach at another church because he was kind of a very famous preacher in our denomination. And also sometimes in other denominational churches, they invite him to preach at their churches. So I had to fill in the pulpit for him. So I thought, I'm in big trouble. So I made phone calls, several phone calls, to people who could pray for me. The very first person I contacted was my mom. And she was in South Korea at the time, and she said, "John, don't worry about it. I will pray for you. And also, you pray to God." And then I realized later, he just started to fast right away. Until I finished my sermon. She fasted for 2 weeks. I have been so much blessed because of my mom's prayer for me and for my family and also for my ministries. That is one of my most memorable prayer experiences in my life. Do you have anyone that you can share your prayer concern freely without any reservation? Or have you been a channel of God's grace with your prayers to those who are around you, including your family members? It is very clear what God is doing in our lives right now is our transformation. His mighty hands have been on us so that we can be transformed to be more like Jesus Christ. That is a real thing. The things we are going through in our lives at this time, and also our relationship with our family members, our friends, our neighbors, everything, they are the materials God is using to transform us. Do you sense that God is working on you? The ministries we have at the church, all the relationships we have built up in your life, God is using all those things to transform us to be more like Jesus Christ. That is what God is really doing at this time in our lives. I know that my mom's prayers have transformed me, because her prayers have been a means of grace from God to transform my lives throughout my ministries. God wants you to pray for the people in your life so that they can be transformed because of your prayer. Our prayer is not just a prayer. Our prayer is a clear indication that we love our God and we love the people we have in our lives. We pray because we love them. We love them because we pray for them. Let me quote John Wesley again about the means of grace from my last sermon. He said, "By means of grace, I understand outward signs, words, and or actions ordained of God and appointed for this end to be ordinary channels whereby he might convey to men preventing, justifying, and sanctifying grace. The chief of these means are prayer, whether in secret or with great congregation, searching the scripture, which implies reading, hearing, and meditating thereon, and receiving the Lord's Supper, eating bread and drinking wine in remembrance of him. And these we believe to be ordained of God as the ordinary channels of conveying his grace to the souls of man." He said, the chief of the means of grace is prayer. But at the same time, our prayer has to go together all the time with the scripture, with the word of God. And our prayer experiences have to be guided by the scripture. And all the experiences we have in our lives have to be interpreted by the guidance of the scripture we have. Let me share with you an example. John Wesley, a lot of people in his time, they really wanted to listen to John Wesley's sermon. If I have a time machine and people ask me, where do you want to go back? When, what time do you want to go back to so that you want to see people there? I want to go back to 18th century. I want to meet John Wesley. I have a lot of questions. One of them is, why did you use the word perfection? Because people are so confused about that. But I want to, you know, listen to his preaching. And thousands of people were crowded around him to listen to his preachings. So Georgie refused to advise him, you better preach outside. Don't confine yourself inside the buildings of the churches. But as a faithful Anglican priest, he was not supposed to preach outside of the church building. So he started to pray about that. And at the same time, he started to read the book of God. And he found that even Jesus Christ preached outside. Do you remember that? Sermon on the Mount. He preached outside. So he made a decision to preach outdoor preachings since that time on. He prayed about it, and also he was guided by the scripture at the same time. If God is answering your prayer while you are praying, why God does not answer your prayer when you read the scripture? So when you ask God, God, please show me which is the way that I have to choose, then you also add this prayer. God, also let me know from the scripture your way when I try to make a decision which way I have to go, okay? You can just ask God to reveal his will through the scripture. That is so important. Today, I shared with you two prayers we have in the book of Philippians and Ephesians. At the time, Apostle Paul was in prison. He was in a really, really difficult situation, but he never gave up on praying for God's church. We can learn some lessons from his two letters about how we should pray. So first of all, we have to remember, whenever we pray, with any prayer concerns, we always remember that our prayer has to be the kingdom prayer. Our prayer has to be the kingdom prayer. Many scholars believe that what is the model of our prayer? That is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is our model for the kingdom prayer. And we always pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You remember that, right? And also, when Jesus Christ was in Gethsemane, you remember that. In his agony and frustration, he asked for God's will, not his will. Do you remember that prayer? Right? My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. So what is the kingdom prayer? The kingdom prayer is seeking only God's will. But you can pour out your heart, your innermost feelings to God, but you do not forget that you pray for God's will. And also the kingdom prayer is a Christ-centered prayer. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. But Pastor Yom, I can see a lot of prayers in the book of Psalms. They do not pray for God's will, and also they were not the Christ-centered prayers in many of the Psalms, you know, in the Old Testament. I agree with you. But when we share our innermost feelings of anger, anxiety, and grudges, and unhappiness in our prayer, not forgetting the place where we can pray to God, then God, by doing so, we can invite God to be with us so that he can transform us, so that we can participate in God's kingdom work. What is the key to that? You never forget that you have to be in the place of your prayer for God. Okay? Then you just pour out your thoughts and emotions, and then God can use your prayers to transform you and to lead you to the work of His missions in the world. So that is why even those kind of prayers are connected to God's kingdom prayer. And secondly, our prayer has to be centered around Christ's love. Our prayer's depth, quality, and quantity are in proportion to the degree of our love for those we pray for. We pray because we love. We love because we pray. That is why we should pray that we have more knowledge of the love of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 through 19. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So you can pray for your children. God, help them to have a more deep knowledge of Christ's love, so that their life can be grounded in Christ's love. Also, you can pray to God about that. God, please help me. I want to grow more in my knowledge about who you are, because there are still big room for me to understand who you are and what kind of love I have from you. Please, God, deepen my knowledge over your love for my life. So our prayer has to be centered around Christ's love. Amen? Amen. And also our discernment comes from the centrality of Christ's love in our power. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 through 11, it says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what really matters." As we can see, when we try to discern the ways of God in our prayers, we have to always remember that we pray in Christ's love. When we have that knowledge, that understanding, yes, my prayer is based on Christ's love, from there, we can find God's discernment. Okay, God, you have called me to love you. And also, you called me to love our neighbors. I want to base my prayer on those two things. And please, God, speak to me. I want to, discern, you know, your will for my life. Okay? So our discernment comes from the depths of our love, you know, we have in Jesus Christ. In our prayer, we must remember the final picture of our presence before God. That is what Apostle Paul did. Let's read, you know, this scripture together. "So that in the day of Christ, you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." Do you see here? The day of Christ. That is our last day. And we will stand all before the throne of our God. Even though Apostle Paul was in prison, he never forget the time he will stand before God's presence in the last day. When we think about the last day of our lives before the throne of our God, that really helps us to have hope in God. And also, because we share the same journey towards God's kingdom together, so that helps us to develop the sense of fellowship and companionship together in the church. So we have to remember that whenever we pray, the things we are going through at our life, those are not all. There's a real thing we will experience at the end of our life. We are all going to stand before the throne of God. And that will shape our ministries, our prayers, and our relationship. Amen? Amen. When Apostle Paul prayed and did his ministries and mission work, he never forgot the final stage of his life before God. He based his whole life and ministries firmly on the time he would stand before God's throne. He was anchored unwaveringly to the time of God's judgment. And everything he did stemmed from there. So we have to remember these verses in Revelation chapter 22. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Let me share with you, a story from Billy Graham. He wrote an article about effective prayer in the book The Power of Prayer. He quoted a story in Guidepost, July 1990. One mother told about a time when she could clearly hear a cry from one of her daughters. Mom, Mom, in the middle of the night. But her daughter was a married woman, traveling halfway around the world with her husband. The mother picked up the Bible from the nightstand and went into the family room to pray. She had a real sense of urgency that her daughter needed help. She prayed that God would show her what to do and read Psalm 91 repeatedly. A few weeks later, she received a letter from her daughter. And this is what had happened. The daughter was in Borneo in Indonesia when she became very sick and feverish. Her husband could not find a good doctor, but after some time located one who took them into his house and take good care of her. So she was healed. The letter ended, "Remember when I was a girl and I would call out, 'Mom,' and you would come rushing down the hall. That night in Borneo, in my fever, I called, 'Mom, Mom,' and then I could hear you rushing down the hall." It was a time she prayed for her daughter. And then Billy Graham ended his writing with these words: "God sometimes causes us pain so that we may pray for others. Bible teaching, church history, and Christian experience all confirm that prayer does work." After experiencing COVID, we have noticed that God has been wonderfully working in our church. A lot of our church members have tried hard to rebuild our church together. I'm so grateful for those efforts. More volunteers have been involved in various outreach missions and ministries. The revival of children's ministry, strengthened community missions, and Sunday friendship lunch have been such a wonderful blessing to all of us. We want to rebuild our church's next generation ministry anew. What do we need to do? We have to pray more. We want to Midland First to be more mission-oriented. What do we need to do? We need to pray more intentionally. We want to have a wonderful caregiving ministries for our elderly church members because they devoted their life to this church and to this community. What is the first step we can take to have that kind of ministry? We have to get together and pray together for that ministry. Do you want to see new things happen in your life and also in our church? Please, start with your prayer. I have preached a lot about prayers at our church. And the former senior pastors, they preached a lot about prayers at our church. What does that mean? God really wants us to pray. And also God wants us to follow him as we pray together for God's glory. The prayer is one of the means of grace that we can use anytime, in any place. God is calling you to pray for your life and for your children and for your other family members continually. Prayer works. Amen. Let me quote E.M. Barnes, and then I'm going to close my sermon. He was a pastor from our denomination in the 19th and 20th century. He has been known worldwidely because of his, you know, books, 9 books about prayer. And this is what he said in his book, Power Through Prayer. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but people whom the Holy Ghost can use. People of prayer. People mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through people. He does not come on machinery, but on people. He does not anoint plans, but people. People of prayer. I know we have a wonderful prayer team behind us who always receive, you know, prayer concerns from our congregation. And also Hillary Ferguson has working on the new prayer team. So she's sending out prayer email every day. If you need to, receive one of, her, email prayer, then just ask her to add your email address to the list. Please, God is looking for people who can pray to him. Amen? Amen. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for continually remembering us in your prayer. We know that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they are praying for us unceasingly. God, help us to participate in your kingdom prayer so that we can be continually transformed with the prayers we are giving to you, Lord. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand as we are singing this last, song? This is our theme song for this, new sermon series, The Means of Grace. brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can be a powerful prayer warrior for God's kingdom and also for the transformation of your lives continually. Now go in peace. Amen.